This conference will now be recorded.
We have a quorum whenever you're ready to start.
Sherry, thank you so very much. This is John Rockwell. I show the time at 1:30. I would like to start by calling roll.
Okay, everyone should be on the phone. If not, you can let me know. Please make sure that your phones are all on mute. On the phone, myself, Sherry Schaefer, Mr. Nate Skinner, Mr. Travis Conant, Mr. Dell Smith, Mr. Greg Eubank, Mr. Jim Goodman, Mr. Bruce Richter, Mr. John Rockwell, Mr. David Brown, Mr. Henry Cole, Mr. James Nelson, Mr. David Reed, Mr. Sean Kostelnik, Ms. Erin Kalwara, Captain Rick Roberts, Chief Pete Milnarek, Ms. Naomi Ulrich. Is there anyone else who's joined whose name I have not called?
Jim Nichol.
Thank you.
Deputy Scott Nelson.
Did I hear Scott Nelson?
Correct.
Okay, was
Deputy
there someone
Chief
else?
Deputy Chief Keith Berrien.
Thank you.
Scott Stormo.
Thank you.
Dave Jones and Chris Martin.
Thank you. Is there anyone else? Okay, that completes the roll call.
Sherry, thank you so very much. And I think this is the first full online meeting we're having so far. And I appreciate everybody joining in. I'd like to start with review / approve of the March meeting minutes. May I have a motion to accept?
Martin makes a motion to accept.
Thank you very much. And a second, please.
Martin. Henry Cole, I'll second that.
Thanks, Henry. Any questions, updates, changes to the meeting minutes? Hearing none, meeting minutes are approved. Moving on to the next issue, the issues and risk log. I don't believe, we do have one on the issues log, and we have the alternate SOA DPS position is vacant. I believe that has been appointed to Captain Rick Roberts. I don't believe that has been approved by the EC yet. Is that correct, Del or Sherry?
It was approved via email vote.
Oh, excellent. So, Captain Roberts, welcome to the meeting.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it.
There are no action items from the March meeting, so moving on to the next item is the Operations Management Office. Del?
I get off mute here so you can hear me. Thank you. System security scan / RMF, I will defer for that one if Mr. David Reed would comment, please, where we're at.
Had to find my mute button there. So okay. We're pretty much still on pause, awaiting the base actually going back to work so that they can continue the or the authorization of the package. Last update we had was it was still sitting with the DAO for approval. I haven't heard anything else since then.
Okay. Yep, I thought that might be the case with the problems that they were invoking out there a week or two ago. So, thank you, David.
Right, so hopefully we get something soon. Thank you, Del.
Okay, the IC zone update. We're tinkering with the CONOP, as I've mentioned in the past. Things are make somewhat more difficult right now because we don't have any face-to-face discussions. It's a little more difficult with emails back and forth, potentially telephone, but we will continue to try to do that. Do you have anything, Nate, that you would like to add at this point?
Not really, other than the fact that I just guess I'll reiterate to everyone that our, you know, our main goal there is to try to simplify everything for everyone. So if you have questions, still feel free to email us and ask us. We're, most of us that are on the committee are still working. So I always thought that we would get more work done right now, but, you know, obviously we're just staying busier with our own work. So
yeah. Okay. Yeah, and I just want to reiterate, if you were not originally involved in those committees, there's absolutely no reason why you cannot continue to call or in when we schedule one or have questions that you can get to us, whether you're a dispatcher or a dispatch supervisor or some other part of this that has got an interest in doing this. We are open to all suggestions and comments, so nothing is being done behind the curtain here. Well, thank you. The DOD infrastructure POCs at the March meeting, Mr. Woodall, say they were working it and had set up correspondence to the sent out correspondence to the agencies to identify the individuals. Again, given COVID-19, I'm not sure that's proceeding apace at this point in time. I don't think Mr. Woodall is on. If he is, I would stop for a second. Nope. So we'll have to see what goes on with that in the coming weeks, and maybe by the next meeting. Annual inventory confirmation. We're about halfway through, and we're a couple months into this. So Sherry's sending out reminders every other week. The suspense is April 30th. There are 68 forms returned at this point in time. We'd like to keep this on track. So please, if your agency, any of you on, or any of the people that you deal with as user council reps have not done theirs, please remind them that we'd like to get them in and get it done. April 30th is the suspense. If you've got some extremely legitimate reason why you cannot make it by April 30th, please communicate that to us so we can know what's going on with you. March document reviews, records management policy and procedure 300-1, and the concept of operations is being worked, as I mentioned earlier, so still under review. The system metrics, 1,042,25 for March, 1,887,740 push to talks. Obviously, we're down somewhat due to decreased activity. There were 181 busies. I think that's an exact same amount that there was in February in the way of busies. Slightly up with the, or slightly down on the push to talks and down on the monthly group calls, obviously. Ted Stevens RF site, I wanted to mention, we have had it turned off for 60 days for a test. I had done a six-month review of agencies using that site prior to the shutoff and contacted them and asked about what the impact, if any, would be and to keep us informed. After it was bit off for a couple of weeks, I sent out another request. I did not get any negative feedback regarding that. We are at the 60 days as of yesterday, but we're going to leave it off for the time being. It's readily available to turn back on if something comes up and we need it immediately. But it does not appear to be impacting agencies in a negative kind of way. So we will leave it off at this point in time and perhaps be able to repurpose that site's equipment at some time in the future if it turns out over the long haul that we really don't need it. Somebody's got needs to mute because they're making noise. Radio discipline is the other thing that I wanted to talk about, and minimize traffic procedures. Currently, everything is still working, I assume, with phone calls and got nothing to do with ALMR, but I would hate to see a situation that we end up having ALMR as the only way to communicate in this state. I don't think that's going to happen, but we want to ensure that if we have to go and up, please mute. If we have to do that, there are some things that we need to keep in mind, and that is very short conversations to minimize the traffic on the radios, not monitoring your home talk group if you're away from your sites or if you're away from your headquarters and monitoring that and monitoring the incident that you are involved with that ties up resources that could be better used by everybody else. There's also a potential for monitoring it at the system management office and doing some minimized traffic procedures. Travis, would you like to at least give some a thumbnail description of what might have to come to pass? Although we would definitely, between me and Travis, the Operations Management System Management Office, notify any agencies if we're going to have an impact on their ability or their access to sites or access to talk groups before we ever did that. We would not do it without informing the agency and discussing with them what the impacts would be to them and if there's another way to do it. So, Travis?
Yeah, thanks, Dale. Like you were just saying, we would watch the system very carefully, and we just did to see that there was a site that was getting impacted. We would see if we could talk to the agencies and see if they can use a shared talk group, maybe look at the have them share an IC channel, something to minimize the traffic. As you said, too, we would get a hold of the agencies. If it does come to it, we can go down to, at a system level and have the talk group or the agency not be affiliated to that site. But like you said, we would definitely talk to the agency if it gets down to that point. But it'd be more of monitoring it and seeing if we could put each agency on the same talk group so they can utilize the channels and the resources.
Okay. Thank you. Any questions from anybody about that at this point in time? I'll try to put something out to the POCs that sort of capitalizes what we were talking about today in addition to the user council members. But I think the key thing to remember is Travis was just saying, if it were to come to pass that we would have to do anything, I can't say enough times that we would not ever do that to an agency without talking to them before we did anything. Okay, thanks, Travis. I've sent out to all of the user council members a description of what was going on with the system management office and the operations management office, and also I'm putting it in the insider for the April 15th edition of it so people can understand that it's still operating at full capability. So, Travis can touch on what specifically we put in that email out to everybody and talk about what he's capable of doing during this in his system management overview. So, John, that's all I have, unless somebody has some questions for me.
Any questions for Dell?
I have a few questions. This is Doug Fournier for Rex. So these could be for Dell, these could be for Scott. There's actually a couple different questions. So first question is, on the system metrics, when it's showing busies, do we have a way to determine where those busies are coming from specifically?
Absolutely. Like what, system management office provides me a weekly report basically on the busies that are occurring all over the system and what talk groups they're involved with.
Okay, just out of curiosity, are they grouped in some areas, like more, are they more prevalent in some areas than others?
No, not really. When we run into a lot of busies or an increase in them over you know, and we're talking about 2 to 3 seconds of busy on most of these on average. It's when something like I've talked about in the past, I think before you came on the council, accident on a remote part on the Denali Highway or somewhere else, and there are a lot of units from different departments at that site, that'll busy up that three-channel site in a hurry, as you might guess. So that's what usually is driving these, not normal traffic. And if it's a big site with 8 to 10 channels, we're probably not going to see much. But it's situational depending on what's going on at any one time in the system.
Okay. The reason I'm asking that, and so forgive me for story time here for a moment, but this is actually information for you guys to use. You know, I know that the funding from the state for repairs has already been, I think it's already been allocated based on what the legislature convening. But obviously the Birch Hill as well as the site down by Greeley have had, you know, ongoing repair issues that have been delayed through the funding. Here in the interior, we're receiving a lot of busies, you know, and I don't know if that's a user issue, programming issue, as in we're out of tune, our radios are out of tune, or if it's related to the tower sites. Where I'm going with this is that the interior back in February had an actual May Day situation on a fire. I don't know how many of you are familiar with a May Day situation. But in this case, three firefighters had to bail out of a second story window during a house fire. And they called the May Day situation for us in the fire service is one where they call May Day saying they have an emergency on the inside. They called May Day four different times, and only two of those were transmitted across and recorded by dispatch. They also, those same firefighters received during that process a number of busy signals and were not able to transmit. The incident commander for the incident, in trying to speak to them, received a bunch of busy signals as well. He finally had to face to face with them because he could never get through to them on the radio. So it was a pretty serious situation for us here. And unable to communicate on the fire ground ended up being pretty significant. And with busy signals that were tied into that a lot. But again, I can't say if those are contributable or attributable to the Birch Hill Tower, or if it was portable radios that are not well in tune with, you know, on the megahertz side, or what's going on. But that's why I asked the question if we can, you know, if we can figure out if we have some sites that are producing more busies than others, because obviously Birch Hill has been in a downward spiral here for a while until just recently. I know that there's been some repairs and some focus put there. But anyways, that's the end of the story. But it's also a tool for you guys to use in promoting repair of the system, I would hope, for advocating for funding for repair of the system is the safety of the personnel, all the personnel, all the agencies involved.
Okay, well, thank you. And it's, as I said, I see the busy reports and talk to Travis about them on a weekly basis. And if we see a site that has got what appears to me to be a spike in busy, so I then go to the detail to try to find out what was going on. And sometimes, as I mentioned, it's some incident with the near a small three-channel site. Or would somebody please mute their phone? I'm getting a lot of background information or kind of sounds. And sometimes, as I said, it's a small site, but the thing that can be done is to take a look at it and say, okay, Travis, this site seems to have a lot of busies. Can we check and make sure that everything is functioning as it ought to be at that site? And they obviously do that and are monitoring all of those. We do take a look at it. Relative to Birch Hill, that's a United States Army Alaska site. the state's maintenance funds aren't going to have an impact on it one way or the other. They have been, as you point out, doing some upgrades to their electrical issues here recently, but I'm pretty sure there's not anything wrong with the radios that are operating from there, the radios at the site, not subscriber units. But we'll continue to monitor those. And if you've got a specific issue, please feel free to fire off an email to me. I'll get with Travis. We'll take a look at it and see if there's something that can be done or have a closer look. Finally, there is the diagnostics devices that the state has purchased that they've moved around from site to site. And they have sent out two reports in the past, last July, and I think the last one was in October, that samples radios up, and they have to have 12 samples of that radio transmitting at that site where the device is located to determine whether or not it needs some tuning up. I'm not sure, maybe when Scott gets on, he can talk about whether or not there's diagnostics in or going to be in the Fairbanks area for your purposes. But that is, when we get those lists, we get a hold of the agencies and it said, this is a list of your radios that look like they need to get in the shop. So that's another way of taking a look at it. But as I said, if you have a specific problem like the Birch Hill, we can take a look at that and I'll talk to Travis offline about it. Anybody else?
This is Travis. I would just add that, yeah, if you want to get a hold of us or the help desk, the main things that we really need to help kind of troubleshoot it is the kind of the times, what radio IDs, that kind of information. Then we can run some reports and see if we can track down on which radio was affiliated, which site it was affiliated, that kind of stuff. So the more information you can provide us, then we can run some reports and find that out for you, what's going on.
I've got all that information, or I can access all that information, so I'll get it to you.
Thank you.
Chief, one final question for me. This is Del again. Do you guys go to conventional on the fire ground itself and off of the trunk system, Simplex?
Not normally.
Not normally?
No. No, we use... go ahead.
I'm just going to say, I'm not going to tell you how to run your business. You're pretty much more qualified to do that than me, but I do know some departments in the lower 48 and I think some in Alaska switch to a Simplex for the site itself, the fire ground, and have at least one or two radios that are trunking that can talk back to headquarters or the dispatch center. I don't know whether that would work for you, but that is a solution that I think they've used in other locations. So anyway, enough of that, I guess. So.
Well, the problem for us here in the interior is that those channels are not recorded, so we have to stay on recorded channels.
Okay. Good point. Good point. All right.
This is Greg Eubank. The reason those people are doing that is because they do not have guaranteed coverage in building, and if we have guaranteed, if they're getting busies, that means they have good coverage. And speaking of busies, is there any way you can report a visual report, perhaps to show which sites and which days, something to kind of give a visual representation of the busies? Because I've been always wondering, well, we got all these busies, where are they? And we've never seen that information.
Okay.
Del, thank you so very much. Before we leave you, though, any other questions for Del? Hearing none, next agenda item, System Management Office, Travis.
Thanks, John. The only thing I wanted to cover is kind of what we're doing here at the help desk for during the COVID-19. We have minimized our staff here in the Tudor Road. We're trying to keep it down to about 2 to 3 people here in the office so we can keep our separation and then working everybody else remotely. Either from their homes or from a remote location, one of the RF sites. And we also, out in the valley, from one of the sites, we went ahead and installed a NM client out there just in case if something happened here at Tudor Road where we weren't able to work in the office. We'll still be able to do all the functions of the help desk. Inputting radios, monitoring our UEM for all our sites and all that stuff from out in the valley. And we also got a new VPN for our ALMR network on this side just so we can send out emails, any of that stuff remotely if we have to work from the houses or anything going forward. So with anything going on, we should be prepared to respond and to continue work as normal through this. And really, that's all I had, unless anybody had any questions for me.
Any questions for Travis?
Yeah, this is Greg. Is there any way to perhaps set up a network client at another site when we're trying to troubleshoot subscriber radio issues?
For security, we usually the NM clients are only at the master sites. We did one out in the valley, and we did some extra security measures out there just to make sure that it's completely secure from anybody else getting into it. So usually it's not something we just throw up anywhere.
Well, I understand that. I what I had in mind was Canton Alley comm shelter where they're secure and they have a direct connection.
Yeah, we can talk offline about what you're kind of looking at and see where we can go with that.
Okay.
Any other questions for Travis? Hearing none, next agenda item, the State of Alaska and DOD overviews. We'll start with Scott.
This is Scott. Just a quick wrap up to a lot of that earlier conversation about busies. If you ever have, specific examples or incidents where something like that's happening, get a hold of the help desk because they can pull reports out of the Genesis system and try to help narrow down the cause. One thing that sometimes happens is the tones for busy don't sound the same as other tones. So it could be that you're also in a situation where you didn't have coverage when you're pushing the button, so it just depends how that's all programmed. Genesis can definitely help. At the moment, there is not a diagnostics box, I think, in the Fairbanks area. I think I'm not remembering off the top of my head, but I think it might be down towards Tok or something, the one that was up north. We have spoken with the DOD in the past about trying to buy some to put at some of their sites. I haven't heard lately if they were looking to do that, but it would be nice if they had some of those on their around their bases. It would cover a lot of their subscribers plus some of the local area customers as well. Back to kind of the issues and risk log for a moment. There probably should be something added on there about the UPS bypass up at Fairbanks, unless that has changed. They're basically going through the same scenario that we went through a year and a half, 2 years ago down at Tudor Road, and we ended up replacing both of our UPSs. I'm gathering information to share with the DOD about our procurement and replacement project so they can look at getting theirs fixed as well. We've still got our microwave refresh project ongoing, although as many of you have probably doing, we are spreading ourselves out as much as possible for the moment to try to prevent the risk of all of us getting sick at once or getting quarantined at once. So doing work that requires multiple people together is something we're kind of pushing off on for the moment until we can make sure we don't risk having everybody unable to work. So that project is kind of sliding for the moment. Still responding to break fix issues when those occur, even if it takes more than one person. The budget, as was mentioned, has been passed. Governor has to sign it. It is not 100% clear if the $24 million for Quantar replacement that was in the capital budget has been addressed or not. It appears that it has with the Saturday or Sunday a.m. operating and capital budget. It looks like there was some wording in there that ensured the supplemental budget that was passed a couple weeks earlier was fully funded, because when it was originally passed a few weeks earlier, it was not fully funded. So if that is correct, if it has been fully funded, then assuming that once the governor signs it, as long as there wasn't any vetoes that impacted any of this, we would assume at that point we have the Quantar project funded and would be starting to press forward with that. Again, hopefully this current pandemic doesn't drag on forever, because I'm sure if it does, that's obviously going to make it difficult to kind of do a project like that that has all kinds of people together traveling around the places in tight quarters. So one thing busy-wise that new equipment will help address is they will be, the intent is to make them phase two, so we would for the most part double the channel capacity at the SOA sites, and I believe the DOD is working on, if we're executing that they would try to execute it on their sites as well. You know, until everybody has upgraded subscribers or purchased the flash upgrades to upgrade their existing subscribers, if they have newer ones, they probably don't have TDMA in it for the most part. You'd have to have that TDMA enabled in order to take advantage of that. So, just again, as a reminder, anyone buying any new radios, definitely get them TDMA enabled when you buy them, because it's cheaper to do it on the initial order than it is to do it after the fact. We got to get them back in and have somebody do the flash upgrade to it. I think that is it from the state of Alaska.
Mr. Stormo, thank you very much. Any questions for Scott? Hearing none, is there anybody online from DOD that would like to give an update?
Well, you've got Rick Williams online from DOD, but I'm not sure about the update part. We've kind of, just to rehash, I'm not sure what the issue is so far as Birch Hill, but we are planning a power refresh when COVID-19 releases us from its deadly grip there. Right now, we're only allowing mission critical work, which does not include upgrade of working systems. I don't have much of a story to tell, I'm afraid.
Well, Mr. Williams, thank you very much for what you can say. The next agenda item is new business. Is there anybody that would like to bring up any new business at this time?
Yes, Keith Berrien, Municipalities North. I'm in the middle of doing our annual inventory, and this is the first year that I've had my fingers on it. And much to my chagrin, as I was working through my inventory, I found out that I have three devices, two that have never touched a tower, and one that had not touched a tower in 6 years. Is there any way, when we're sending out inventory lists, that we could possibly include the last time these devices touched a tower, so that it would spur people to look for particular devices that weren't in use?
Good point. Travis, do you want to take that one?
We can on specific ones. It'd be difficult to do it for every radio, because it's really time consuming to pull all that data for each one of those. If there's questions on specific ones, then we can definitely run that report and get that to you. But to do it for all agencies, it would be pretty time consuming to pull all that data.
Is it because you'd have to look at each radio individually and then look at when the last time that they touched a tower and then document that and then move on and on?
Yeah, on that you can't do like a huge group. You go into each individual radio and just kind of pull the data, go back whatever years, you know, for it, so it goes all through the whole system to pull all that. So it's just one after another. It would take quite a bit of time because it's per radio.
And I'm wondering, Travis, if that's not something that we could maybe request in a future patch or upgrade, if there's some way that the system software can do that. I understand you can't do that today. But sometimes when the vendor develops the next release or the next patch or the next whatever, they can program something into it if it makes sense for them.
I could follow up with Genesis too to see if there's any newer reports that we might be able to get that information, but I can definitely follow up with him to see.
Yeah, this is Scott. Suggest that same thing. Talk with Genesis. They may have a report, or they may be able to create a report for us that can do that. Because I've heard of another, like the guy that ran Indianapolis, I think they used to run some kind of report looking for radios or talk groups that hadn't been used in 90 days. So, and I think he was a Genesis fan, so he may be doing that with Genesis.
And Scott, since you brought up talk groups, one of the things that we're focusing on is trying to streamline the system and narrowing down the number of talk groups globally would be part of that streamlining. And so, Travis, when you're asking the question, maybe you can add not just radios, but also talk groups to the question.
Okay, will do.
Excellent. Any more comments or questions or items to bring up in new business? Hearing none, the next scheduled meetings are May 6th and June 3rd. I'm sure that Sherry will send out an updated agenda with an updated meeting link and to see if there's any changes. So at this point, I'd like
John,
to ask. Yes, sir.
Yeah, this is Adele. I just wanted to remind everybody that today is April 1st, and April Fool's Day, but beyond that, the proposals for the OMO contract were due today, and that's out. And proposals were due in today. So I suspect over the next few weeks, there'll have to be some decisions made, obviously by the state and others, about the operations management office, come July 1st.
Thank you, Dell, for that sad reminder.
Well, you know, I used to think that retiring might be a good thing and staying home, but after 2 weeks, I'm tired of it already.
Yeah, it's not too late to change your mind now.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, at this point, I do want to thank everybody for your service, especially during this time of pandemic with COVID-19. I know that the work is difficult and frustrating. The contacts that you traditionally make, you have to worry about. I appreciate everybody in the public safety arena and all the support personnel. Scott, you're doing a great job with the SATS and ALMR office, you, Dell, and Travis, and then everybody out there in the field. So with that, I would like to ask if someone would be willing to motion to adjourn.
This is Henry Cole. I move to adjourn.
Thank you, Mr. Cole. And a second?
Second, this is Doug Fournier.
Thanks, Mr. Fournier. All right, then we're adjourned. See you on May 6th.
Thanks, everybody.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you, Sherry. Thank you.